creation, pure and spotless, let us be. Let us see this great salvation perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory
into glory,
till in purpose we take our place. We cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your presence and your purpose being consummated before our very eyes, even in this last days. Yea, these last of the last days. And we thank you for honoring us, having mercy upon us, preserving us, our parents, our forefathers, even in this land of destiny from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, and bringing us to such a time as this, like you did Esther in days gone by. You brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. My Father has come to share this landmark word. I pray your unction and anointing afresh upon me and upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to become more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it indeed with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said,
amen.
I have a very important message. It's a landmark message that I want to share with us that the Lord has given me. And I have entitled The Economics of Prayer. These are concepts I have been speaking on in bits and pieces in recent times, but the Lord now has given it to me as one complete message that is very important for the church. And I've called it The Economics of Prayer. Prayer is the currency of the kingdom of God on earth. There is nothing God does on earth except it is done through prayer. God can do nothing except men pray. It is one of the reasons why we see a preponderance of evil on the earth and in many nations. When the church or the people of God either do not pray or pray but do not pray effectively, and their prayers do not avail much, you see the enemy's works more in preponderance. Where God's people pray and pray effectively, you begin to see the effect of God's power upon individuals, upon nations. And like Jesus said, I like the way the Lord said it. He said, pray thy kingdom come. The word kingdom simply means dominion, the dominion of God. Pray that your dominion come, and so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many times, sadly, the church, either through dishonesty or unbelief or a terrible toxic combination of both of them, put off the kingdom of God to the millennial reign. And that's true. When there's a time Jesus is going to come, when the devil is going to be put inside the bottomless pit. Yes, that's going to happen. But Jesus didn't say we should wait for that. He said we should pray now that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth now as it is in heaven. It means that there must be a way of doing it. It means that it can be done. And furthermore, it must be done. Hence this message on the economics of prayer. Now, very simply, because we want to make this as simple and as brief as possible, prayer is communication with God. We say this every Tuesday. God is in the spiritual realm. We are in the physical realm. We communicate with God through the avenue of words and thoughts. God responds by a physical manifestation that corresponds to the requests or our communication with God. Prayer is a legal, has a very strong legal aspect to it. Two important legal things about prayer. Number one, for it to be legally admissible, it has to be prayed by a man on the earth. Psalm 116 verse 15 says, the heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. In Genesis chapter 1, the scripture tells us that, you know, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. That purpose has never gone away. God did transfer legally, it's like a legal title deed, the authority of the earth, the dominion of the earth, to man. And man gave it to Satan when Adam fell. And that's why Satan told the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, and what he said was true. Otherwise, it would not have been a genuine temptation. He said that if you will bow to me, he showed him the kingdoms of the world. Watch this, and all the glory and the riches of them. So when you've seen all these things on the earth, Satan's in control of them. Now, we take that with a little something. He's in control, but that's only to the degree we allow him. Hello, somebody. Amen. And that's why this message is so important. You know? And so, he said, I will give it to you. Watch this. For it has been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. You're talking about a legal transfer. Satan transferred it to me, and I can transfer it to you if you will bow. Of course, Jesus knew that he was, you know, that's not the way to get it. That's what Jesus came to get. But that was not the way to get it. And he refused and said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt, you know, worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou worship. And, you know, and it's interesting, later on in the book of Revelation, we now see that very thing, Satan offering Jesus. Jesus getting and said, the kingdom of this world are now become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. So Satan was offering him ahead of time what he was not going to get until he had gone through the cross and he had been raised from the dead. But that's not the end of that story. And until his church had made all his enemies their footstool. So as I speak tonight, or rather this afternoon, the kingdoms of this world have been given to us, but they have not yet become ours. Because there is an exercise, this exercise of prayer, that we must involve ourselves in before that can become a reality. It is potentially ours. The price for it has been paid by the Lord Jesus. But we have to enter into it experientially, you know, through the exercise of prayer. And that's why you see the Bible said, the Lord Jesus himself is the one who said this. With this understanding at the background, he said the kingdom of God allows violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, if there is no force applied, even though it's been given to us, we will not occupy it. We will not, it will not become ours experientially. Hence, you see the mess on the earth. Some years ago, I taught on this. I don't want to divert myself because I'm trying to stay focused on the main crux of the message, but it's come to my heart. You know, in Psalm 144, I'm not going to turn there. You know, they can put it on the screen if they can get it. You know, where the Bible talks about the nation. No complaining in our streets, you know, oxen are strong to labor. You will observe, if you look carefully, that there is no nation's name that is put in that thing. That's right, sir. Amen. It's for any nation that will fulfill the condition. Amen. He says, this is the, at the end of it, of them whose God is the Lord. Any nation. In other words, this description is and a very accurate description of thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. This isn't going to happen in heaven. No complaining in our streets. You know, happy is that people that is in such a case. Oxen strong to labor. You know, go back to that oxen strong to labor. That's a good one. You know, no breaking in. Can you imagine a nation where there's no armed robbery? It looks impossible. No complaint. Can you imagine a nation where nobody who's complaining? Everybody's satisfied. I know what you're going to say, and I've got God's answer for you. I just picked it by the Spirit. What you're saying, Pastor Lupi, you and I know that's not possible. Hello, somebody. And I got God's answer. With men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The reason why we haven't seen certain things is because we don't have a serious church. A critical mass, a certain number of us, it's not going to be everybody, but it has to be a critical mass that God can trust and that will now enforce that kingdom and cause those conditions to be manifest in the earth. And this must happen before Jesus comes. Fulfilling Hebrews chapter 6, he says, those who have tasted of the powers of the age to come. Now, this is going to be in the millennial reign, everybody's going to have it, but there are people in this dispensation that will reach by faith into the other dispensation and bring this down here and now. Amen. The scripture says so. It says, the powers of the age to come will be made manifest in this lifetime. And it's not the first time people have done it. You see Enoch, you know, reaching out into the age before him and bringing it. You see David reaching into the New Testament and bringing the ark, you know, like New Testament worship, even though it was in the Old Testament. Amen. It's no new thing. You see Daniel, you know, no temple, no animal sacrifice. Daniel operated total New Testament Christianity. Yeah, Daniel had no high priest. He had no sacrifice of animal. He did not observe the Sabbath. Of course, he did personally, you know, in his prayer life and all of that. But he did not observe it as a ceremonial ritual. He didn't observe it. He was in Babylon. There was no temple. There was no priest. There's nothing. Yet the Bible says Daniel was a perfect man. He operated in the Old Testament as though he was in the New. And here we are in 2017. God looking for a bunch of people who will believe his word. and then bring the millennial conditions into the earth today. It is one of the reasons why I believe the Holy Spirit had me choose that song, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It was written by Charles Wesley in the 1700s. For those who do not know, Charles and John Wesley were two wonderful brothers who got born again. They weren't born again at first, they got born again. They were students at Oxford University. Back in those days, most of those universities were theological institutes. They studied other things like mathematics and astronomy, not astrology, astronomy, that is the study of the stars, and, you know, a little bit of the arts. So, but most people would first of all do a course in theology, then they would do maybe some science and some arts and all of that. To cut a long story short, these two kids, I call them kids because that's what they were just young men, you know, they started, you know, what's called the Holy Club. That's how they called it, you know, and they said, look, we just want to do things the way Jesus did them, methodically. The way they so honored God that God blessed their ministry, you know, with a nationwide revival, that practically there is no village in England that the power of God did not touch through the ministry of the Wesley brothers. So much so, God gave them this revelation. This hymn we sung was written in the 1700s, but it's still current. This same John and Charles Wesley, what we call the Industrial Revolution, came on the wings of their revival and catapulted England to become the most powerful nation on the earth. In the 1700s, you know, and then after that into the 1800s, that England became the major industrial power, the major academic and intellectual power, with Isaac Newton and others, you know, and then later on became the major military power and conquered the whole world because of two boys. What we see is a ripple effect of what they were doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They literally shook not only England but the whole world. John Wesley famously said, "The world is my parish." You know why? They kicked him out of the Anglican Church. They always do that. The old move always kicks out the new move. Things haven't changed. Amen. You know, and you know, because, you know, he was preaching all this revelation at that time, the Anglican Church said, "You're preaching heresy." His daddy was like a pastor or something, I can't remember the details, you know, and so he was in the church, and the vicar, whoever, said he should get out. They're not going to allow him to preach that kind of a thing, that, you know, he's evicted from this parish. You know what John Wesley did? He walked out of the church, went to his daddy's tombstone, you know, his father says, where they buried his daddy, "You can't stop me from preaching on my daddy's, on my father's grave," and said, "This is my pulpit. I don't need your parish. The world is my parish." God heard it and God honored it. Give the Lord a clap offering. Literally, the world became his parish. This same John Wesley, this is where it ties into my message, he said, this was written many years ago. I heard this from Kenneth Hagin. You know, I didn't read it from John Wesley directly, even though I researched it later on. John Wesley said something. He said two very important things. Number one, he said, "I don't know why it is, but it seems as if God can do nothing except men pray." Then the second thing John Wesley said, having had a brilliant education in Oxford, he said, "While an education is important," he said, "it is more important to learn how to pray than to get a college degree." Everybody shout, amen. Amen. I'm a great one for education, as you well know. You know, I believe in books, knowledge, and I'm very positive about that. But let me tell you something. No matter how much natural knowledge you have, if you don't know God and you don't know how to pray, you're a non-starter. You're just a disaster going somewhere to explode. Satan can pick you off whenever he likes. Says he's not picked you off yet because of the mercy of God. Of some other people who've learned to pray, who are praying for you without you knowing they're praying for you. It's not because you're so smart. Am I talking to anybody here? The economics of prayer. Prayer has two aspects of it that are relevant to this message that I'm preaching. Number one, prayer has the element of requests. Men asking God for things. These things could vary from material things to spiritual things. Prayer is full of requests. That's not the only thing about prayer. There's prayer for fellowship and worship and all of that. But I'm focusing now on this. Prayer has requests. Then the other aspect of prayer, which sadly many people are ignorant of, or I don't want to say ignorant all the time. Maybe it's obscure. When I say something obscure, they know it's there, but it's not clear. You know, it's the power aspect of prayer. You see, when you pray, there are two things that are involved. There's the asking of God for whatever it is you're asking God for. Then there is the power that is necessary to bring that thing into physical manifestation. Now, where this word economics comes in. For prayer to work in the earth as it should, you need that request aspect to be in line with the word of God. It's a legal requirement. Why? Because God cannot do anything contrary to his word. This is a legal thing here. That's why Numbers says God is not a man that you should lie, neither is a man that you should repent. You can ask God to do something that is contrary to his word. That's why the Bible says that if anybody, I think it's in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9, he says that anybody who ignores the law, he said even his prayer will be an abomination. Proverbs 28 verse 9, if you got it. He says, if you ignore the law is just the word of God. You know, he says, even your prayer will be an abomination. Yeah, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. God can't answer a prayer that's not lying. So we need prayers to be in line with God's word. That's on one aspect. And the second aspect of prayer is the power aspect. You need, even when a prayer is in line with the word of God, if you don't release sufficient power, the answer to the prayer will not come into physical manifestation. The typical example, of course, is Daniel. We know Daniel prayed the first, you know, and then he had to fast for 21 days. It's one of the most revealing scriptures in the Bible about prayer. When finally the answer came 21 days later, the angel, I believe it was Gabriel, you know, told him, he said, look, the very first day you prayed, God heard. This opens our eyes to a completely new vista and realm that many Christians are either willfully ignorant of, you know, or just, you know, they don't even want to hear about such things. But whether you want to hear about it or not, that's the way things are. He said, from the very first day you prayed, he said, God heard. He said, and I started to come. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and at that time Daniel was in Persia, you know, withstood me. So there was a wicked spirit, a principality that was in the heavens, in the air, that was fighting against Gabriel. But good news is that Daniel kept praying. So he kept generating, you know, releasing power, the power of God, you know. And finally, you know, the angel, this is the real meaning of breakthrough. He had a breakthrough. And then he now told Daniel what was happening. You know, so there's that aspect of prayer. So everybody say legal aspect, power aspect. Now, the economics of prayer. When prayers are made on the earth by men, these two aspects must be fulfilled. And what happens in reality, many, many times, is that there is the concept of God's sovereignty. So sometimes when a person just makes a request, but the power is not there, God sovereignly can use his power to bring the thing to pass, but somebody else must release that power to make it legal. I'm sure these are things that are not, they're strange to many Christians. You know, I've heard it, you know, it's childish Christianity. But when I was a child, I thought as a child, I speak as a child, and I said, have you heard God can do anything? If after all, he's God. God can do it. Yes, true. That's true. I don't doubt God's ability, but he has to do it legally. God just can't do anything. For instance, I'll tell you something God can do. He can't lie. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. So that's one thing God can't do. Now, it's not that he doesn't have the ability. God can do anything, but he won't. It's contrary to his nature, so he won't do that. God cannot lie. There is nothing that is too difficult for God to do. But the problem is, God does things legally. For instance, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, I quote this every Tuesday. It says, God is able. Everybody shout it. There's no problem about God's ability. God is able. I didn't hear you. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in God. I'm going to say it again. God is able to do anything. I'm just paraphrasing. According to the power that's working in God. Is that what scripture said? That's the us is the limitation. The us there is the limitation. Let's say it another way. A paraphrase. The degree to which God can do all things he wants to do depends on how much access we give him. That's why it's not according to the power that works in God. It's according to the power that works in us. The good news there is that us is plural. It's not singular. There's a singular application, of course, but you know, the more accurate, apt application is plural. Hence this issue of the economics of prayer. The currency of prayer. So when God does anything on the earth, he's looking for people who can pray his word. Then he's also looking for people who can release his power in sufficient measure to match the request. Now what happens in practice is that sometimes God will do certain things. There won't be anybody who can match it in power, but God will still do it anyway, sovereignly, then he will store it in heaven. You haven't heard that one before. He will store it in heaven, looking for a time where there will be a man or a man on the earth who he can use to pay it off. It's one of the reasons why we have to pray. It's one of the reasons why we used, in my introduction, very briefly, the typology of Esther. You see, Esther was brought to the kingdom, the Persian kingdom back in those days, you know, and God placed her inside the palace in a position of privilege where she could approach the king to save the rest of the nation of Israel from the schemes of Haman. Esther was afraid, you know, for because of the kind of person Sirius was, you know, temperamental. Reminds me of some guys today, you know, who could just wake up on the wrong side of bed and, you know, get angry and do silly things and kill people. So she said, look, this guy hasn't called for me for 30 days. You don't go before this guy unless he calls for you. Because if you go and he's in a bad mood, he'll just kill you. You know, and Mordecai said, look, you don't understand. God's brought you for this position. He's brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther symbolizes the end time church that is praying and growing into perfection. And we have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, so that God can use our prayers now to pay off some of the power deficits, if you like, or you can call it a prayer debt, that of things God has done in the past that He has done sovereignly, knowing that somewhere down the line somebody is going to have to come and pay for it. So I said, where do you get that from in the Bible? Very easy. Two things. Number one, let's look at Jesus. This is talking about sin now. Sins in the Old Testament were forgiven by the temporary covering of the blood of animals in the hope that the Lord was going to come later on to pay for all of those sins. Not God had went ahead and forgave them. But everyone that was forgiven, there was a record kept. It's one of the reasons why Gethsemane was such a... You see, when you understand, you now understand what was at stake. When that thing, it tilted. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Do you know what we've put down? Hallelujah. There was no other way. He had to pay the price. All the sins. Hebrews chapter 9. Thank you. I believe it's verse 15. Hebrews. Good. I want you to give this to me. Well, let's read the New King James first, and then maybe we'll look at New International as well as Amplified. Good. Okay, this is good. It says, for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption, the word redemption means to pay off, to buy back, by the for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. Those sins were not paid for, they were only covered. Jesus had to come to suffer and pay the price for those sins to be remitted. Had Jesus not come or something had happened, forget it, folks. That was why Gethsemane was so critical. Thank God Jesus understood His purpose and He knew what was at stake. So even though His flesh didn't feel like going to the cross, even though His feelings didn't want to go to the cross, when He remembered the purpose, He said, nevertheless, not I will, but as I thy will. And then the Holy Ghost came, sent an angel to strengthen Him and pushed Him through. Are you listening to me? The same thing is true of prayer. What I've just said now about sin is true of prayer. There were all the prayers that were prayed in the Old Testament, and some of them that have been prayed in the New Testament, God has answered some of those prayers sovereignly. But He's still waiting for a set of people who will come and pray those, release the power for the to pay the price for those prayers. You see this, you have to put scripture with scripture in order to understand this. Let's first of all go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 39 to 40. Am I talking to anybody here? Yes,
because of time, he was talking about all the Old Testament from Adam, you know, Enoch and all of these guys. Now, watch this. Watch this. And these all. Don't you never say all who? All Daniel. All David. All Joshua. All Enoch. All Abraham. All the Old Testament, everybody, no exceptions, having obtained a good report through faith. Let me paraphrase that. God approved of them. They honored God with their faith. Received not the promise, even though God did great things for and through them. They still did not receive the promise. What promise? The promise of eternal life. 1 John chapter 2 verse 25. Cut there and then cut back here. 1 John. It says, this is the promise. I didn't hear you. That he had promised us even eternal life. Now what I'm about to share with you, you got to just follow me. Hang on to my coattails so I don't lose you. You got to understand that nobody in the Old Testament had eternal life. Nobody. They didn't have eternal life. Watch this, Pastor G. If they didn't have eternal life, they couldn't generate power. Because power comes from life. So everything God did, he did sovereignly. Even when they prayed like Elijah and put his head in between his teeth. Well, all of that, God allowed all of that. They used their faith and all that. He approved of the faith and then he would move sovereignly. They didn't have eternal life. I want to thank God every day for E.W. Kenyon. It was E.W. Kenyon that God used to open at least my own eyes and the eyes of the rest of the church. Some people refuse their eyes to be opened to see. Nobody in the Old Testament was born again. You don't understand. Most people can't. Nobody. Moses, Joshua, David, whoever you want to call, Daniel, Nehemiah, Ezra, all those great guys, the Bible says they all, not one of them received the promise. The reason is simple. Jesus hadn't come. The blood had not been shed. So nobody could receive eternal life. You can now understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now whosoever, Moses, David, Joshua, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he calls it a new commandment. He said, a new commandment give I thee, which thing is true in him and in you. It is this eternal life that was not available in the Old Testament, that Jesus now made available through his sacrificial death. For the first time, human beings could receive eternal life back into their spirits ever since the Garden of Eden. Now, all those prayers that had been prayed in the Old Testament that God had answered sovereignly, he now has to look for a New Testament church, an Esther company, that's going to pray it through. So, Pastor, how do you know this? It's very simple. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. One of the scriptures I used to question in my heart. Not I believed it, but I used to, what does this mean? What does it really mean? Praying always, everybody. Ephesians 6, 18. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for some saints. Say it again. You didn't say with conviction. Don't your neighbor say Old Testament saints? New Testament saints. All saints. You see, that's where praying the Spirit becomes so powerful. Because when we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost can now, I don't know what they prayed in the Old Testament, but God does. Hallelujah. So when I begin to pray, he doesn't know just not only what I'm praying about, but he also goes beyond what I'm praying about. Are you listening to me? And that is why prayer is so vital, is so important. That's why I call it the economy. This is the currency of the kingdom. This is what God spares. This is the thing we must give God enough of. So his purposes can be fulfilled. Are you listening to me? We pray for all saints. Then you can now understand. Now let's go back to Hebrews 11 verse 40. Hebrews 11 40. I want to read this first in the King James and New International. Then I'm going to go and read it in Message. Message captures the spirit of it better than any translation I've seen so far. It says, God having provided... He's talking about all this. Remember, that's verse 40. Verse 39, it was verse 39 that says that all of these, they received a good report, but they did not receive the promise. God having provided some better thing for us New Testament saints, that they Old Testament saints, should not be made what? Perfect without us. Now, look at this in the Message Bible. It's a beautiful translation. At least in this aspect. God had, I didn't hear you, a better plan for us. Watch this. That their faith, hallelujah, and our faith will come together to make one completed whole. That their lives of faith not complete. Their lives of faith not complete apart from us. There's all the things God is not complete if we don't add to it. Amazing. Hallelujah. In closing, as I begin to close, we have reached the end of the end times. You don't even need to be a prophet to know that. You can just put on CNN, look at, you know, every day I watch the news, it's like reading Matthew 24. Rumors of wars, you know, floods, earthquakes in diverse places, abounding in iniquity, it's all there. You know, Jesus himself had said this, you know, 2,000 years ago, but we're now seeing the reality of it, and it's increasing on a daily basis. So we know we're in the end of the end. Where there's always been the last days, but this is now the last of the last days, if you like. Praise the Lord. And here, God tells us something. In Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, and look at verse 21. Am I talking to anybody here? Whom the heaven, talking about the Lord Jesus, must receive until the times of the restitution of some things. Every account must balance. Everything must be properly restored before Jesus can come. This is what many Christians don't understand. Childish Christians say Jesus can come tomorrow. He can't come tomorrow. Thank God he can't come tomorrow. Because even if he could come tomorrow, you won't be ready. Hello, somebody. There's so many things that have to be put in place. Look at this in the Amplified. This Acts 3:21. Look at it in the Amplified. Whom the heaven must receive, I like this one, and retain. It's not coming anywhere yet. Until the time for the partial restoration of all God spake by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past from the most ancient time of the memory of man. Everything God promised, everything God said, there will be a complete restoration. All the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, all the prices are paid, all the requests are made, everything balances. You can now understand why I said the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until he can come. All these things, and prayer plays a... You can now understand why one of the conditions of the end time is watch and pray always. God knows what he's doing. He's looking for a company of people who'll be able to pray enough to get all this stuff sorted out. Then he'll come. One, two last scriptures, and we're done. Ephesians 6:18, we looked at that. Now, I'm not going to go here. I'm just going to mention it. You know. 1 Timothy, I mentioned it earlier on. 2:4 says, I wish therefore, first of all, see how God prioritizes prayer. Supplications and prayers and thanks be made for all men. In Timothy, in Ephesians, he says all saints. Here, he increases the scope to cover all men. Do you know how much God is doing on the earth daily for men? Without anybody asking him. So, Pastor, how do you know? I'm a recipient. I know all the things God did in my life. I didn't even know God. I didn't know how to pray. So somebody somewhere must have been praying for me, or God moved sovereignly and then moved somebody else to pray. There are many things I could remember. You know, I remember as a child, so many times, so many things just happened and things just worked out. When I look back now and I realize it wasn't luck. It was the mercy of God. Because of time, I don't want to start telling long stories. I remember my getting into University of Ibadan. It was God. I was, you know, brilliant by the mercy and the grace of God. You know, I was taken everywhere. I was taken in FSS, Federal School of Science. I was taken in International School Ibadan. I was taken in University of Ife. I was taken in Ahmadu Bello University. You know, and I was taken, of course, in yours truly, UI. But you know what happened? It's a true story. It's a true story. Ibadan was closing. The date of the submission for the prelim, you know, it's called the concessional in those days. You know, prelim exam was closing. And, you know, I got to know, I quickly filled the form and everything, you know, and I had to get it to Ibadan. They were closing at 4 o'clock. I had to get my form to Ibadan. So, I think this was maybe the day before or something. I now found out, how am I going to, if I mail, it's going to be late. What am I going to do? You know? So, as God would have it, providential. Providential. My uncle, late Femi Johnson, of blessed memory, had an office in Lagos. And they had a car. A courier car that always took their stuff to Ibadan. I called my dad. My dad called Uncle Femi. Uncle Femi said, don't worry, I have a driver. He is going to go to Ibadan tomorrow. Make sure you get to my office in Marina, so and so, so. To cut a long story short, that's how I got there. The man drove like a madman. I still remember the name of that driver. His name was Oye. It was one of my uncle's, you know, very faithful drivers. And it was a Citroen, you know, that my uncle had that time. We went to, I said, I must get there by 4 o'clock. Went through all kinds of, I didn't know God. I didn't know covering. I didn't bind the devil. You can imagine all the things that could have gone wrong. And it was the old, it was not this expressway. I'm talking about 973. We went and went and went. We drove into University of Ibadan at about 3:45. I can never forget it. We crossed there. In those days you could enter. I entered and stopped by the Senate building. You know, where the taxis used to stop. The man drove me there. I jumped out of the car and ran into the admissions office and said, I'm from Lagos. This is my form. Please, 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 please. The woman looked at me and said, you're a serious boy. Oh, yeah, bring it. I would have wound up in Ife. They took me. I said, I won't go. Only the best go to UI. Five. Pastor G, apologies. That's how I entered. mercy. It had nothing to do with my faith. I had no faith. But God had a plan. God could see 2017. I couldn't. And he had a plan for my life. I now look back. If I'm going to University of Baghdad, I wouldn't have fulfilled my destiny. There were too many things connected. The scripture union, the brethren I met, the way God moved in my life, you know. And some of my friends who went to Ife died. We all came from Ikoyi together. We were all riding Harley Davidson and on serious elements. Pastor G knows some of them. You know, kids. They're just kids. They're just children. And that's why parents, be very careful what you buy for your children. Don't buy what will kill them. I still remember. I would have followed. Thank God. God who knew the end from the beginning. And began to block things and work things out. This is before I ever knew anything about prayer. But here I am, fast forward 30, 40 years later, I'm now a praying man. So a lot of stuff that's been done there can now be taken care of now. Is it making sense? Now, we're going to close soon. Paul had 3 finalists. I'm on my first one. Hallelujah. I'm going to consider 2 scriptures that I'm going to use to explain something and close. Look at Ephesians 6:18. We've gone there already, so I'm not going to repeat, you know, we don't have to go back there. Remember that the prayer was for all saints. I would say for all saints. It was not for some saints. This is a legal technicality. Just like when Paul was teaching the Galatians, you know, as to thy seed as of one and not to thy seeds as of many. The Bible is a technical book. Legal technicality. Here's another one. It was for all saints, not some saints. Now I'm going to show you something else. Follow me to Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. Watch this. You see the elders at the throne of God. They have golden vials which contain incense, which are the prayers of saints, not all. Of saints is deliberate. Move to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. We're talking about the economics of prayer. Here you now see, and another angel stood, and he had a golden censer, and was given unto him much incense, that he should offer the prayers of all saints. What's going on here? What's going on here? God will take the prayers of some saints. Then he will go. Look at this angel is given incense. Where did he get it from? The elders. It's the elders that are sitting there passing it to the angel. The angel now takes the prayers of some saints. Then he goes to mix it with the prayers of all saints. And then he does something else. When he does that, the Bible says the incense, that one, it now rises up before the throne of God. Give this to me, the New King James Version. There's a beautiful thing here. I'm not talking to anybody. Then another angel, having a golden, came up, stood at the altar, and he was given much, remember, incense is prayer, that he should offer with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar. This is not typology. This is reality. This is not the symbolism of the Old Testament. This is to heaven itself. Which was before the throne. Next verse. Glory to God. And the smoke of the incense or the prayer with the prayers of the saints. The prayers of some saints mixed with the prayers of all saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Verse 5. Then the angel, when did he do it? When the connection was made. Filled it with fire and then threw it where? Into the earth. It was after they mixed the thing that you now put it inside the earth so that everything that's not been taken care of is now taken care of. Hallelujah. 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 So, let's tie it up and close. When you and I pray, when we pray in tongues, that's why you need to pray in the Spirit. You don't know what you are praying about. You don't know details. So you're praying. You're praying about what you're praying about. Then there's a man says God is interested in that you are praying about that he's not telling you. Because there are some other people and things you do not know what you should pray for as we ought. So the Holy Spirit will now give you utterance to pray about something that some other saint has prayed about but it's not complete. So he now takes a part of your prayer and takes it to heaven and stores it. The economy of prayer. And he puts it in a vial and they store it there. Every time we pray, there is a certain amount of our prayers that is taken away and stored. Oh, glory to God. And the thing begins to pile up. It's like a savings account. God. Kule, don't mess with God. This man we're dealing with is smart. Too much wisdom. He piles it up there. 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 And as the time of the end begins to approach, in order that all things can be restored. When you now pray, the prayer of some of the saints, he will not take some of your prayer. He'll go and bring the one. It's all legal now. It's been done with men on the earth, and then they release it back into the earth. You now see why you must take your prayer life seriously. You're not just praying for yourself. Closing. Esther was not just praying for herself. Most Christians don't understand this. You're not just praying. Hey, Esther, you know, she could have gone to the king and asked for a new suit of clothes. Or new makeup. Long shadow. You know, she could have, they stretched the scepter towards her. The man said, ask anything to the half of my kingdom. And you have for me last year, thank you, Brother Ibrahim. Shall she be answer? She could have asked for a new aeroplane. Ask for this, ask for that. Like so many of our prayers today that are so materialistic and self-centered and have no sense of purpose and destiny. No! Esther, you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Your major prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's your prayer, Esther. To save yourself and your people from this wicked Haman. So that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Esther, wake up. And don't be afraid of going before the king. Yes, he may cut your head off sometimes. Or try to. But when you go under covering of a Mordecai, another message for another day, you will be preserved. No. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. You will find favor with the king. The golden scepter will be stretched towards you. And you can ask anything, not to the half of the kingdom, but to the fullness of the kingdom. The fullness of the Spirit without measure. Let us pray. Talk to God. Everybody stand to your feet. If you can receive it, receive it. Oh! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now you take prayer seriously and see differently. Yeah, and of course, inside the prayer is your own salvation too. Because Esther was a part of the people. So for praying for the people, she was praying for herself. So the blessing that came to the people, blessing also came to Esther. Incidentally, she inherited Haman's house. Another message for another day. So you're going to be blessed, Esther. You're going to be greatly blessed. But you will fulfill your purpose. Your purpose is not blessing. Your purpose is glory. The blessing is just a side thing that comes along with it. It's the jara. But what we want is the glory of God. So that we can save the nations. And we can fulfill the purpose of God on the earth. Hallelujah. Is it clear? We're going to close. On bended knees
we come, with a humble heart we come,
bowing down,
bowing down before your holy throne,
lifting holy hands,
lifting holy hands to
We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make our lives
a holy
praise unto you. On bended knees we come. Hallelujah.
On bended knees we come.
With a humble heart we come.
Dedication to prayer. I know some of us are praying people already, but
you need to dedicate afresh. And for those who have not been taking it as seriously as they should, this should be an eye-opener. This is a landmark message. It's very interesting that the prerequisite, the condition for being ready when Jesus comes is to watch and pray. God has tied it. He has tied it. Because he has to have enough people who are watching and praying to get the job done. Prayerless Christians are not ready. I'm not saying they won't go to heaven, but I am saying they can't go first flight. I don't say they won't go, they will go. There are many ways of going to heaven. Prayer is so important. God tied it. He tied it to the end time destiny. Watch. I used to wonder why the man was so emphatic about prayer. Now I understand better. Watch and pray always. Pray without ceasing. Rejoicing in hope. Patience in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It's a recurring decimal throughout the entire New Testament. You know why? It's the currency of the kingdom. The Old Testament people couldn't do it. Some of the people even in the New Testament, you know, in the ages before, couldn't do it because they didn't have the knowledge we have today. They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. People like John Wesley who groaned and travailed and Charles Finney, you know, but they didn't have it like we have it today. Yes, Esther, you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Generations don't know what we know. There's a great responsibility upon our shoulders. Raise that hand. Touch the other heart with the other hand. The touching of the heart just is symbolic of sincerity, honesty. The raising of the hand is asking for help from, you know, that is higher than you. It says, I will set my eyes upon the hills. Asking God. You know this prayer thing? I've been doing it for many years. Initially it can be difficult on the flesh, but don't worry, you get through. You'll be okay. Don't worry. Ask me. You know, I first 15 minutes, my head will start paining me. I used to wonder, I used to say my heart, you know, not in a bad way, but you know, this Ken Hagin man must be mad. Asking people to pray for 1 hour. I pray for 15 minutes, my whole head is paining me. But with time, you can train the flesh. God needs more of us. And you don't have to go and spend 10 hours in prayer. Prayer is, there is the question of, yes, you have to spend some quality time in prayer. Then there's frequency. Learn to frequently pray. That little 5-minute prayer is adding to the account. That little one that you did is also adding. By the time you put 1 million of us, and you have 10 million of us, and 100 million of us, and we're all prayed, you can imagine what God has available to work with. That's exactly what a banker does. Thank you, Pastor Boyga. That's what the bankers do. Every time you go to your ATM machine and you go more than 3-something, they tell you 65 kobo. But you know how many millions of people are doing 65 kobo all over Nigeria every day? That's the same thing with prayer. When a little of us, each of us is doing our own little bit, then you have 1 million of us, 100 million of us, 500 million of us, 1 billion of us. You can now know why Satan doesn't want this kind of message to go out. Because he's finished. Give the Lord a clap offering. He's finished. Once people's eyes open and they know the importance and they start to practice it, well, you can imagine having 500 million Christians who pray at least an hour in tongues every day. Why did you shout her? You shouted her, it came from your spirit. You know why? Hence, they shall be fulfilled that the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's why you shouted her. That's what's going to happen. Literally, that's what's going to happen.
the power will just be, it'll be, you can imagine this stream is joining this stream. This one is joining this stream. Out of his belly shall flow. My river is joining your river. Your river is joining my river. It's joining Pastor Kwega's river. It's joining this one's river. It's joining that one's river. It's joining this one's river. What are you going to have? A flood. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. He's finished. Go and write his obituary. The guy's finished. Ooh. You know, just a few hundred of us that are doing it properly now. And we still see the mercy of God. But you can imagine, once the thing increases exponentially, we're going to blast him to kingdom come. We used to say that when we were kids. But literally, that's what's going to happen. We're going to blast him to kingdom come. And what happens in kingdom come? He goes into the pit. Raise that hand. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Ah! Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. This word, this landmark word on the economics of prayer. That prayer is the currency of your kingdom. It is the power of prayer that will enforce your kingdom so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I understand. My purpose and my responsibility in this whole scheme of things, I understand that it's not an accident I was born in Nigeria. The land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, from which the rivers divide. I understand that you are raising up suppliants, intercessors from this land. Here I am. God send me. Like it says in your word, in the day of your power, your people shall volunteer. I volunteer. I volunteer willingly as a soldier of the cross to pray in the spirit daily, frequently, regularly, with a heart of love and forgiveness, so the prayer will avail much. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me, like Esther, to understand that I have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. You may be seated.